Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're never going to walk in a room and not know Keon's in there, separate of his size. Keon was one of the 30 we brought in, and so the three of us, along with our scouts, we're in draft meetings all through the day, but we'll meet with these players during our lunch hour. We'll bring them over kind of one at a time at our table, spend a good 15, 20 minutes with each player while they're here, and you get to know them. And so while they're not with us, they're with other parts of our staff, strength staff, trainers, coaches, whatever. So when we walk into the lunchroom, you can just hear a voice above everyone, and you walk in, and it's, of course, it's Keon.
Bills GM Brandon Bean on their newest weapon, Keon Coleman. Jeremy and Joe, good Monday morning. Beautiful day on tap. Up to about 70 today, and the week looks really nice. So that's cool. Nice to have spring here. It's also Derby week, Joe. That's always exciting. High of 73 today. Joining us on the Western Hotline, afternoon show host Mike Shope. Simply because I thought, I was getting ready for the show yesterday, I thought, I want to talk about the trade up, trade down stuff. I'd like to talk about it with Mike.
Wait, we're not talking about Ray Davis's where he'll go in dynasty drafts?
That might be a little bit later. But Mike, good morning. I've been listening, of course, throughout this whole draft process, and I wanted to just chat about trading up and trading down.
I'm here for it. This is the earliest I've ever been up, but I'm fine.
Congratulations. Well, that's nice. Let me tell you. It kind of stems from this. Like, Bean talked yesterday and said about the Cole Bishop selection that they would have traded up for him. And I'm kind of caught. Like, do we give the Bills credit for trading down, given that they did not add picks? They just traded down in the name of trading up, right? From the fourth to the third and the fifth to the fourth, and here they're ready to trade up again for Cole Bishop. They ultimately didn't have to do that. So where does the draft trade chatter go to when you do trade down, but really only in the interest of trading up?
Well, it's an interesting way to put it. I mean, of course, the later you get, the less important it is. You know, like the picks on Saturday, we talk a lot or hear a lot about, oh, you have all these picks on Saturday, so just trade up, you know, throw in a couple of fifths. Like, nobody's really doing that substantially. Secondly, I would say they didn't make the trade up for Bishop. And it's not to say that Bean doesn't mean it when he says it, but it's different than doing it. And it's often what you hear every year about almost every important pick is, oh, we wanted him so badly, we would have gone up for him. Now, the Bills can't get away with that with Keon Coleman, obviously, but you know, it's why you've called me. Like, I think that kind of tactic, what they did on their way to Coleman, is preferable, especially when it's a year where everybody seems to agree that there are even a dozen or so receivers all kind of in the same class. So, you know, I think they did well. I would have been excited for one more, because one of the more subtle advantages of the second trade they made Thursday night would be to have all day Friday where you're next. and that should be pretty good negotiating leverage. But there wasn't another trade there, and I wonder if the Bills were sort of like, all right, you know, that's enough. if they had a trade, they might have liked to do, because not ever knowing who goes where, Coleman is somebody that was not everybody's favorite prospect. You know, McConkey was generally consensus higher rated. And maybe so was Troy Franklin, who went when? Saturday?
Yeah.
So you never know.
Yeah. And very different style, very different mold, Ladd McConkey versus Keon Coleman. McConkey is a not small, but it's definitely a smaller and speedier receiver that gets open all the time. McConkey might have been the best separator in this class of the second tier guys. And here's Coleman, who is not a good separator, but we do have some NFL players that are able to work this way.
Yeah, we'll see, right? I mean, the more I read about Coleman, the more people seem to think he's a slot receiver, and I don't know, like, that's not exactly perfect for what the Bills needed, but nobody was perfect down there. I didn't like Thomas or Leggett or even Mitchell that much myself. So they've got a job to do, right? We all know it. I kind of thought we would get one more over the course of the weekend, and there were players who, like Tez Walker to Saturday, you know, there were interesting names, Javon Baker. They didn't last until the Bills' fourth round pick, but again, to the point about moving around in the draft, I guess I would have said on Friday that I thought they had a design on their way to a second receiver here, you know, helping them to justify not spending a first round pick on one in an offseason where they've traded Diggs.
You had been on yards per route run as one of the predictive stats maybe that you liked a lot. And I'll confess to not knowing where Coleman came in on yards per route run.
I don't know either.
Okay.
I just know I got it in my head that Thomas, let's look up Scott Barrett for this, because that's the chart we want. Or it might be. Thomas and Mitchell were like on a list of picks. If they were to go in the first two rounds, which they both did, that like you couldn't find in the last 10 years or so, you couldn't find one name that had a good career. So it was a little bit more nuanced because they were both on outstanding teams with fellow, even twice in terms of Mitchell, fellow highly rated prospects. But for me, it was a deal breaker.
Yeah. Coleman, I'm trying to find that right now too. Mitchell, I was off him completely because of the combination of the number stuff and just if there was any extracurricular or whatever, like attitude things in addition. The thing with Thomas I always wanted to defend is he got hit in some of those numbers because he played more as a freshman than almost any of these guys. Like, he had a higher yards per route run than Marvin Harrison Jr. did as a freshman, but he played triple the snaps, so his number came down a lot higher. But that's not to say he was as good as Harrison in that final year. I don't know. I saw that as a difference between Thomas and Mitchell, though.
That's fine. I mean, there were so many, you guys know as well as anybody, you had more of these conversations probably about these players than anybody, maybe even including Brandon Bean. So there was always a back and forth and ebb and flow on players. None of them was perfect. We thought maybe the consensus was the top three guys came pretty close. The only thing I felt comfortable predicting Friday was that whoever the Bills receiver would be, we would hear about how Josh Allen wanted him.
We did hear that.
We did.
We did.
So that's Mahomes and Rashee Rice. That's CJ Stroud and Tank Dell. That's Allen and Kincaid, who immediately after sort of kind of cutely mentioning that back a week or two ago, came right back with, but you know, I'm not really making the picks or whatever he said after that. I think he sensed that it might have, it sounded like that. So did that come as any surprise to hear that like Allen endorsed it, if that's not even strong enough a word?
Yeah. Landing spots in Dynasty, Mike. Let's do a little bit of that because, you know, we're all fantasy football players.
Okay.
Were there any good running back landing spots?
I have never really liked Kyren Williams, so Corum to the Rams is pretty good as I see it, but Williams is there and was one of the most productive backs in the league, so I doubt he just replaces him. I think Davis is way up there. I mean, Brooks is good, Carolina, okay. Benson is good, James Conner is still there eventually, okay. But for this year, I don't know. And Davis probably, likewise for this year, is there's not a super high ceiling, but I have just really liked him the whole process here. He's definitely the right sort of body type to complement who they have. And it wasn't until the fourth round, so I don't have that problem like I've had for however many years in a row, or maybe until last year where they drafted running backs on day two. So I think he's really interesting. I have always bet against Cook in fantasy, and one of my reasons is that for the kind of workload you're going to need on a team where the quarterback vultures all the touchdowns and he's not, you know, the guy, he's not a prototype goal line back himself anyway, like the size makes me wonder about how well he'll hold up. But that has not been a problem. Like, he has been durable for them consistently. And so you never know with injuries. It doesn't mean that he will be again, but based on his size, like, he's, to me, he's not the running back, the typical three down running back you have in your head that just can, if anybody can anymore, hold up to all the beatings. So I feel like Davis will probably have a role, and they say he's a good pass catcher, and Cook wasn't always great at that.
Right.
So I like the player a lot. I think the landing spot is, you know, close to perfect for a guy picked in round four.
Fourth also, it's not like nothing. It's not sixth or seventh even. Like, they've spent seconds and thirds, so it might feel like it's not as much as they've normally spent, but for a lot of teams, a fourth round pick's about as high as you ever go for running back.
Yeah, and you know, that this was a class everybody agreed wasn't too much conversation about running backs in the first round this year. Like, nobody got there. And then you started to see a couple go on Friday. But, you know, round four, a team with extra picks like the Bills had, I have no argument at all with doing it when they did. And again, neither with the player they picked.
What I really wanted for fantasy was Dallas. Like, Benson or Corum, or like, did they even pick one? I don't, like, even through the whole draft, I don't even think they picked one.
No, they signed Zeke.
So there you go. Zeke.
That was incredible that Dallas didn't pick a running back. And they were, you know, talking about it. Like, McCarthy, that organization, that table, it's got to be the most entertaining, you know. Well, I mean, if you're sort of like us, you lean a little sarcastic. You know, you wouldn't want to be a fan listening to those guys describe their process. I mean, didn't Jerry Jones say they picked 24th because they were the NFL's 24th best team?
Yep. Did Coleman, by the way, him in Dynasty, I got his yards per route run. I mean, he's down there with Thomas and Mitchell. Like, he's not he's not too different. So I don't know if that, you know, is going to be a deal breaker for first round in Dynasty, but I think he's probably going first round.
I think he's probably going first round, even arguably in Superflex. Superflex has five, if not six, quarterbacks that will go in the first round, and redraft might have one or two, maybe more. But those receivers, that's the challenge of it. It's a lot of guesswork, but Worthy and Mitchell and McConkey, you know, I think even guys like Baker and Walker, who went on Saturday, have wide receiver two potential on their teams like right away. So there are lots of options. It's fun. I'm starting today.
You got a draft?
Starting today.
You have a draft?
First of about 14 dynasty leagues, the draft started an hour ago.
Oh, very nice.
Let's go.
Beautiful. Here's another tweet. I'm now in Coleman YPRR Twitter. Coleman versus Johnny Wilson in the same offense. Johnny Wilson went to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Receiver in like the third or fourth round.
He's
the
6'7" guy.
Yeah. In the same offense last year, Coleman 1.7 yards per route run, Wilson 2.4. So, yeah.
All right.
Well, what does Allen think, though? That's what really matters.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike. Enjoy the draft.
Anytime.
Yep.
Thank you for calling, guys. Bye.
Yeah, thank you. Mike Shope, he'll be on this afternoon.
Yeah, the numbers don't love him.
Well, the thing about...
I mean, he's basically where Thomas was in most of this stuff.
The thing about comps, like, I had somebody write in, what about a more athletic T. Higgins?
Who? Coleman?
Yeah. And the answer is no.
I can't get to more athletic for almost... Gabe. I'll do it for Gabe. More athletic than Gabe.
But
he will jump higher and he'll make guys miss.
there's a beautiful the conversation on Coleman is beautiful because he doesn't get open. Okay. If he doesn't get open his entire career and just catches a bunch of touchdowns, nobody's going to care about his open score, right? Open score is good. You want receivers to get open. But like, so Higgins is an example. T. Higgins beating man and beating press is in the 70th percentile 2 years ago. I'm just, you know, pulling up reception. And in college, Keon Coleman's in the 20th percentile or below. And I'm not predicting failure, but I think you've got to have a realistic expectation early on for him, which is that the Bills are going to have to do some work here to shine him up. To give you a context on the history of guys that have come out like this. So, like, we again, Matt Harmon, he'll be on the afternoon show at some point this week, I'm sure. We talk about him a lot. He's charted all the receivers that have come out in, like, the last 8 years, and their scores against man, their scores against zone. And the comparisons for Keon Coleman are guys like Jonathan Mingo, Treylon Burks, that there is a path to success for these guys. These are non-separators. There's a path to success. But what it really comes down to is, do you have the kind of coaching staff that can bring about that path to success? And that's why I keep getting back to Joe Brady and how we just don't know what this offense is going to look like. You know, you tell me if, some of the things that you could sell anybody on Keon Coleman are 50-50 balls, red zone. And I think about red zone all the time, Joe. I think I don't feel the need to get incredible red zone threats. The Bills are generally pretty good in the red zone because Josh Allen runs it in. What's going to happen? He's going to roll out and he's going to run it in.
But do they want to stop that?
They might. And maybe this is where they play that tall ball idea. Throw it up to Keon Coleman. I mean, he's a basketball player, plays above the rim, right? Like, okay. Time to start throwing the ball really high to Keon Coleman. 50-50 catches are nice. To me, it's more of a backup plan. But he's good at those. He's got a big frame. He plays like a bully. He is he breaks multiple tackles on 21% of his in-space attempts. He gets out into space. You are struggling to bring him down. So there's your yak.
Yep. I don't know what he's going to be.
I don't either.
It's going to be, I don't know what how he's going to get used long term. Like, what is it going to look like right away? Because they have a vacancy now. Like, they don't have time to wait. He, being talking about, like, we'll see if he'll be able to start right away. Like, or what? Where are you at if he doesn't? Where are you at if you show up to training camp and Keon Coleman is not ready to play? He's raw and you don't trust him yet, or he's getting a couple of things wrong, maybe trouble picking up the offense, whatever. Start of his career goes like Kyrie Elam's went. Where are you at? I mean, good luck. Mac Hollins is starting for you. And maybe also Justin Shorter is playing a lot. Or maybe it's not Justin Shorter. Maybe it's Tyrell Shavers or it's KJ Hamler. It's somebody you've brought off the street is where you're at if he's not ready to play. So, like, I got Gabe Davis's numbers open in front of me. Would you take Gabe's rookie season for Keon Coleman right now? 600 yards and 7 touchdowns?
If he has that season.
I feel like it would be hard to say no to that, right? Given the prospect?
600 yards is low.
But that's...
It's low.
But that's at least a guy that's playing. That's a guy that's on the field for you. And there are worse outcomes than that.
That's
your
true.
Your worst outcome is that Mac Hollins is starting for you all year. That can't happen.
I mean, Mac Hollins had 90 targets in a season.
But
could he get back to that level?
Do you want him getting... Does that team regret 90 targets in a season? Would be my question. What team was that? The Raiders 2 years ago?
Yeah.
The Raiders 2 years ago. Yeah, 94 targets, 690 yards. Don't end up there. If Mac Hollins had 90 targets in this offense this year, I mean... No more train. Death Star. Right?
Yeah.
The giant flying aircraft carrier from the Avengers. Like, we need something else at that point if Mac Hollins has had 90 targets in this Bills offense.
Jim in Rochester. Hey, Jim. Good morning.
Morning, guys. Just a couple of points. Jeremy, I think you hit on it perfect. The whole reason I called about 15, 20 minutes ago, when you said we're looking at this offense like the offense used to be, it's not going to be that way. When Brady was in Carolina, his first year, he had Darnold. They started off 4-0, and they had a bunch of guys. It was receiver by committee. That's probably what is going to happen here. You're probably going to have four or five guys with 55 to 80 catches. No defense is going to know who are we going to double team.
The flip to that, Jim,
because there's probably no reason to double team anybody.
Right, which is not great.
The second thing, while that still leaves everybody one on one, and pro players should be able to get open one on one, but the second thing is, you can see the way they picked all of their draft picks, that they got a leader for each room. Every room got a new leader. If you look at the draft profile of the guys, they're all three times, not all, but a lot of them are like two or three time team captains. A lot of them are like Gray is a little older, had 1,000-yard rushing seasons for three different teams. I love the draft. I think Cole Bishop is gonna be fantastic. I think he's a perfect pick for that. We went into the draft with 28 and 60. We added 95 just by going down five spots and picked up another three-time captain on the defensive line for his team, who's plug and play. Now you don't got to sign a defensive tackle next year. I like the draft. You can't think of the offense the way it used to with Diggs. I 100% agree with that. I know a lot of people don't like the committee approach to offense, but I think he was forced into it when he had to trade Diggs.
Thanks, Jim. I don't know if they had to trade Diggs. They definitely did do it. How much they had to.
I'd love their offense right now if they didn't.
I'd like it more.
But the Diggs and Coleman?
Yeah. The point about all the captains and all that stuff, they didn't add 95. They traded up, kind of. To me, it's always important. Trading down always has the idea that you added picks. The Bills didn't. They just moved. They shuffled their deck. They traded down five spots, and they slid up 40 spots later in the draft. Meanwhile, like thinking about the receiver by committee thing, no one's going to know who to cover. Where does that work? Who's the best at that? Who's the best at, and again, like there's almost like this mindset of you, it sounds better if you don't have anybody established, like no one's going to draw a double team. That's bad. Right. You want someone to draw a double team.
It makes it harder for the rest of the committee.
Yes. You want someone else to be able to be open because they can win their matchup. And, you know, this Bills receiving core has had Diggs and Davis, who were both, Diggs, of course, elite for the last 4 years, and Davis, pretty good, maybe needed something else. You kind of needed Shakir to pop a little earlier than he did, maybe. But the point I would make is simply, I felt like teams didn't fear this offense last year.
Right.
The Jets especially. Every time they play the Jets play the Bills like they are not at all afraid of their skill positions. They put Sauce Gardner on Diggs, and they're not afraid of anybody else. And the Jets, you know, split with the Bills this year. Of course, they had nobody at quarterback. I don't know.
That's where, I don't get to the sky is falling, because aren't they more respectable in that way today than they were last year?
Where? What way?
All of it. Like, just who you're afraid of, who you have to pay attention to. Like, last year, there was nothing other than Diggs until Shakir arrived.
Well, Kincaid should have been that, and it took a little time to get that rolling.
But now he's a second-year pro, and you hope that that's going to be better in year two.
All this, it's just really important. Like, the draft does this. You have to not view it through your own team's prism. The Bills added a bunch of leaders. Guess who else did? 30 other teams. 30 other teams are going to tell you, 31, sorry, are going to tell you they did also.
Mm-hmm.
We added leaders. We added captains of the teams. Was Caleb Williams a captain for the USC? Was Roman Dunsay a captain for Washington? The Bears got two captains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, The Bills added a weapon. So did every team in the NFL. They all did. They all added a tight end or a receiver or a running back. So it comes down to not just, we added 10 bodies and we added all these people. Every team did that. What did you do that sets you apart? What did you do that makes a difference in your wins and losses? And that's where, you know, Coleman, the pressure's on being for Coleman to be a part of something like that. And Curtis Samuel. On Cole Bishop, there's one knock on him. One knock that I've seen on Cole Bishop. Do you know what it is?
Is it down the field stuff?
Short arms. He has short arms.
Okay.
What does that translate to, right? Like, what does short arms mean? His missed tackle rate.
Oh, I did see this.
He has a pretty rough missed tackle rate, which is something you can see sometimes with short arms. So, you know, can the Bills help him with that? Sure. That's the other thing. You know, you're drafting prospects with the idea of what you can turn them into and what they can become. 803-0550.
What do they think they can turn Keon Coleman into?
Great question.
That he's not already. Like, do they see him as he's going to be our Gabe Davis? Or do they, I don't think this about him, but does Brandon Bean think, is the Ayuk trade or some 1 year off massive mega number one receiver trade not in his mind right now because he believes Coleman can develop into a number one receiver?
Not really anybody thinks he can develop into that.
Maybe the team that drafted him does, though.
Maybe. It's not often that a guy that doesn't beat man coverage can even play the X consistently. Never mind, be a true number one.
Right.
So he can be, I have every reason to believe he can be dynamic and fun, but true number one, you know, the Bills are very much without one.
I found a tweet that is like alarming and like weird about, I pointed out the stats when Mike was on, of Coleman versus his Florida State teammate, Johnny Wilson, mm-hmm. who I think went where? It was round four. Should add this. Round four to the Eagles. He went pick 185 to the Eagles. So 150 picks later, his Florida State teammate. And I'm just looking at it. I mean, this tweet is very, it's clearly designed to get a point across. So there's probably more context, but look at the two players, Coleman and Wilson. Same amount of yardage. Wilson had a much higher yards per route run. Wilson had a higher PFF grade. Wilson is 3 inches taller and 15 pounds heavier. He had a 9.88 raw athletic score, while Coleman had an 8.1. And, well, Coleman's younger. That's the one difference. Like, what? Why did he go so much higher than his Florida State teammate? Is a question I have right now. Because, again, this one Twitter account pointed out five areas where I'm sure he wanted to get across Wilson is comparable. But his Florida State teammate has better numbers and is a better athlete. I don't know why that happened.
803-0550. Give us a call. We'll get a break in. Jeremy and Joe talking Bills draft. Keon Coleman, Cole Bishop, Ray Davis, among others. Some depth. A team in transition, according to the GM. You can give us a call if you'd like.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're very excited. When we headed into the offseason, we knew we had to get that quarterback position right. It's the most important position in pro sports. And so we had to get it right. We made a major investment in Kirk Cousins. Couldn't be more excited about what he's been since he's been here. And then we have an opportunity to draft. We're not going to be picking that high moving forward. So it was a unique opportunity, and a player was sitting there that we believe in. We have a lot of conviction in him. We love the player and what he's going to be for us. So we have our quarterback for now, and we have our quarterback for the future. We couldn't be more excited.
Terry Fontenot, that's the GM of the Falcons. Eighth pick in the draft. Last year, a running back. This year, I mean, it's Bijan. And I'm team Bijan, so, you know, at least in Dynasty. And this year, a quarterback. From the least important position to the most important position, and you took the least important position when you didn't need it, and the most important position when you didn't need it.
Yep.
The Falcons, everybody.
And Cousins is upset.
Yeah.
He just got there. They called him while they were on the clock. It's not like they gave him like a big heads up or anything. I saw one of the...
He's upset. He seems like too nice of a person to be upset.
Was it Chris Sims? Somebody said that Cousins should go to the NFLPA and try to get his deal undone. Because the Falcons, like...
Whatever.
Yeah.
He's too nice. If you watch that series, the quarterback, it made him, you know, got to root for. I'm sure he'll be a wonderful mentor for Michael Penix.
Or he's going to put water in his cleats.
Chris in Buffalo. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the call. Love the show, man. This is fantastic. You know, I think the Bills brass, they insult our intelligence, man. You know, like, we go in, we get Coleman, right? Like, it's like saying Josh throws it so wild. We got to get a contested catch guy. Hey, and, you know, he throws it so high, we got to get a guy that can jump high. You know, each year we go in with a theme of how we lost the year before. Like, oh, we need a closer. Let's go get Vaughn. We need this. Like, you know what I mean? I think, Jeremy, you're so on top of it. It comes down to coaching. The fact that we pass up on the speedster, oh, yeah, let's pass up on the Porsche and get the minivan. You know what I mean? Like, if you can't use the speed in this league, then you shouldn't be an OC in this league. Look at what Reed did with Tyreek Hill. Look what McDaniels did. If you're an OC and you can't utilize that speed, then you shouldn't be out there. You know what I mean? So they insult us. 2 years ago, they get Elam, and you're running base nickel D. Like, what are you guys doing? They don't even know what they're doing. You know what I mean? So it's like I have no confidence in the coaching staff. It's like no matter who we get, we shouldn't even have an identity. Each week should be a different identity. You know, no defense is the same. Like, there's not one defense is the same. You should be able to switch it up. You should have a base offense. But we can't even run base plays like a screen. Like a screen, a back shoulder. Like, you got Josh Allen. Could you imagine what Shanahan and Reed and McDaniels would be doing with Josh Allen? It's such a disservice. It's so frustrating. They insult us each year. So in the pass to Diggs, the playoff game, it was contested. So now go get the contested guy, because that will shut the fans up. We don't all jump through tables, man. Some of us are actually smart. Like, it's you guys that I worry about. Like, you got a monster on your hands with Josh. You could probably do anything, and this is what you come up with. And part of your – Jeremy, you're right about this too. Part of your obligation is to – discourage the other team from doing good. You know, play a little defense, play a little chess here. You know, not hand them. I'm blocking all the calls from KC from now on. You're not even allowed to answer the calls because you guys don't even know what to do anyway. It's frustrating. Mm-hmm. I go back and forth. I do like some of the players. There's some good players, but I don't think the Bills know what they're doing. The rookies, they don't even start till the end of the season. How long did it take them to get Shakur in? Like, come on. McD is playing D on his own team. Like, well, I think there's too many chefs in the kitchen.
Thanks, Chris. On the Shakir point, why did it take him so long to get in? Because their base offensive idea last year going in was to not have him on the field. It was to have two tight ends. It was to be
Dawson. Also, had he earned it? He had a bad camp.
No, that's right. But like, you were last year going into the season, you were going to downplay your receiver share,
right?
From 3 and 4 all the way down to 2, and whatever. Like, the lesson we all learned in the Josh Allen draft was a lesson we knew throughout the draft, which is you never know how it's going to work out, and maybe, you know, your plans for this receiver are great, and this safety are great, and you hit 7 draft picks, and holy cow, Brandon Bean is a genius. There's a lot of randomness in the draft, but it is not random. And with Coleman, my biggest concern is not that he's going to be a bust, but he's not going to do what they actually drafted him to do.
Mm-hmm.
Everything seems to show power slot is where this guy would thrive, and if they're going to put him on the outside, that might be a work in progress. I mean, the story of Treylon Burks is exactly that he was put on the outside and had to learn a new position. And there aren't that many comps for guys that beat man coverage as infrequently as Keon Coleman does that can succeed outside on the X. So, okay, I'm still looking for that. And maybe that's Curtis Samuel, who plays most of his snaps in the slot. Am I going to get Beckham, who, again, has, like, these guys prolong their careers in the slot? Is MVS an idea here? Not DJ Chark, not Hunter Renfrow, not
Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas, no.
Tyler Boyd.
Big slot.
Allen Robinson.
Big slot last year for Pittsburgh.
Michael Gallup.
No.
Yeah.
These are not ideas you really want.
The caller
But again, built into that is I'm still in my head building the Daboll Dorsey offense, and right. That is gone. That is gone.
But what does that mean? All that means is you have a receiver that gets open, right?
Well,
isn't that all that means?
No, like Brian Daboll's offense was 11 personnel and run Devin Singletary into light boxes. Devin Singletary, his first 2 seasons, was like number 1 in the NFL in how frequently he ran into light boxes.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills' whole attack was built on a lot of receivers and handed off into a light box. And they are not really that anymore. And that doesn't have to be bad. It's just, I keep saying, like, I'm trying to transition away from this idea that they're going to stay in this box. Identity is a big part of this. I don't know Joe Brady's identity as offensive coordinator. We're going to find out. Is he as good as Andy Reid? Is he as good as Kyle Shanahan? I mean, while the Bills traded out of the spot for Xavier Worthy and Ricky Pearsall, those are the 2 receivers that went right there. Speed, 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 speed.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills went for size, physicality, play speed, but not true breakneck speed. Whatever. If he plays fast, that's fine. So, you know, not upset.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think they did the least they could do at the position that passes. The absolute least. 1 second. If we went to this offseason, if I told you at the start of the offseason, Gabe's going to walk, they're going to draft a second round receiver, you'd say, jackpot, let's go.
Yep.
Also, they're going to trade away Stephon Diggs and bring in Curtis Samuel. Well, okay. Mm. That's a little different.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And like, Sherfield to Mac Hollins, I think, is probably a pass-catching upgrade.
Yep.
But then again, you know, here, Kincaid, how long is Dawson Knox here? Not much longer.
Maybe one more year. Well, to the point about how the season ended, too. How much of Coleman is the 2 plays they think about at the end of the Chief game? Allen throws it down the field to Diggs, and he doesn't catch it. Allen throws the ball down the field, maybe this is right before that,
Sherfield,
to Trent Sherfield, and it hits him in the arm, and he doesn't get it. And are they thinking, oh, Keon Coleman would have caught one of those 2, if not both of them? I hope they didn't overreact to a couple of plays. I mean, they didn't have... a guy like Coleman that could go up and snag it like that. But how important is that supposed to be to your offense? It's fine to have it, but I've told you, I think Kincaid is very good at that already. As a guy that, oh, everything's breaking down, I need to throw a jump ball. There were a bunch of plays like that for Kincaid last year. I mean, it's fine to have more than one. I don't know. I'm crossing my fingers that this guy, there are anomalies with a profile like that that can be a very good wide receiver in the NFL, and even doing it on the outside. But I am not super optimistic.
Jerry and Kenmore, good morning.
Morning. I'm farther in this than you guys are. I'm so disappointed. I thought there was a chance we were going to triple dip at wide receiver, and we didn't even double dip. My fear is this team has always had these false positives. Like, look at the Kansas City playoff game. Dave Davis is good. Oh, look at us winning the last games of last year, being more conservative running the ball. You got very lucky against Miami and very lucky against San Diego when all the games were close. I think they think they're riding a curve of the league is going to be too high shell, heavy dimes, heavy nickels. It's going to go back to running. Let's get big. Let's pound the ball. Let's get a big receiver, a big back, a whole bunch of backup offensive linemen, play 12 personnel. This is an identity change with a stud quarterback, and I think we're blowing it.
Well, I had someone point out to me about running the ball and how they might think they're a lot better at it. I mean, they ran for, what, like 300 yards against Dallas or whatever? How many times did they have a running back go over 80 yards last year? I think it's four.
Four games?
Four times.
Dallas?
Cook did it four times.
Okay. No one else ever did it?
No.
Who would have done it? Ty Johnson?
But, again, like that's it. If they become that team and they start to get good, what are we going to say about it? Like, good. Whatever you got to do to win. And they're not about to make changes. And, you know, as you say, like, this is an identity change with this quarterback. I do agree with that. Allen wanted Keon Coleman. Patrick Mahomes wanted Rashee Rice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did Allen want Diggs gone?
Well, Bean said what?
He said it could happen. And this is a point I brought up.
He told him it could happen.
I brought this up with Sal, like, before Diggs got traded, weeks before. If Josh Allen doesn't want that guy traded, he doesn't get traded. That was my belief.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if Josh said, do not trade him, they would say, okay. But, of course, that didn't happen because he got traded.
Unless he said that and they still traded him.
That's right. Which, do you believe that? We got two drafts in a row where the quarterback has personally endorsed the receiver they've taken, tight end and then receiver. He has endorsed both of them.
Well, Bean's the one who's pulling the trigger on all these trades. He has three individuals to care about there, right? He has the owner, the head coach, and the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
What does he do if they all have different opinions on it?
You do what the quarterback wants.
Over who? Over the owner?
The owner should,
over the coach?
The owner should want to do what the quarterback wants.
Uh-huh.
And the coach should, to a degree, want to do what the quarterback wants, too.
Uh-huh.
Especially if the
But should doesn't mean always.
Especially if in this scenario, the quarterback is talking about retaining the number one receiver in the NFL of the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But my guess would be...
But could they do it anyway and say, well, don't worry, we'll make... Is Coleman a little bit of, hey, we'll make it up to you? Like, this is a guy you want, right? Like we know you didn't want him gone, but we had to do it. Here's why. Don't worry, we're going to replace it in the draft. And then draft day shows up like, hey, remember, you wanted Coleman? There you go.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a make Josh happy because we sent away your guy.
I think it's just
I just don't think that's impossible.
I don't think it's impossible. I just think it's more likely that Allen was fine with letting him go. If he had said, do not do it, I think they would not have done it. Extendo Sports coming up, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Just, you know. My feeling on it, my own speculation on how that whole thing fell apart from such a good spot to such a bad spot so quickly. And I do still think that that's an absence they're going to miss.
I have some Keon Coleman-related trivia when we come back.
Very good.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Instant trivia in Extendo Sports, brought to you by The Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. Keon Coleman, the first Florida State Seminole drafted by the Bills in 9 years.
Okay, I got one.
In 2015, the last time they did it, they drafted three.
Okay.
Florida State Seminoles. Can you name them?
Zebry Sanders.
No. That's
what?
You just wanted to say Zebry Sanders.
He was a Florida State guy they drafted.
I think that's further back, though. That's 2012. Yeah. That's a good. That is Florida State, though.
I'm taking a point for that.
You get like a golf clap on that one.
2015, they drafted three Florida State players.
Yes. All I would say the only three from the class that you would probably even remember. All had good success to different degrees, different amounts of time, I would say.
Okay.
Also a draft for the Bills to not have a first round pick.
Okay, that helps.
Where did that go? Oh, Florida Watkins.
State. Florida State.
Watkins draft.
What positions? Guard?
Nope. Corner, running back, and tight end.
Man, I should remember any of these players.
You'll remember all three.
I will?
Yes.
A tight end they drafted from Florida State.
Yep.
Nick O'Leary.
Nick O'Leary. Sal started like... I don't even
playing
know what...
Playing charades.
Yeah, he, charades he said it, with the hands.
The charades where he didn't wear gloves.
Yes.
Nick O'Leary.
Nick O'Leary. Okay. Sixth round. Yep. I thought he could have gone with the golf swing to get you to Jack Nicklaus's grandson, too.
Okay, the other two Nick positions, O'Leary. Running back?
Running back and corner.
Reggie Corner?
Nope. The corner is still playing. Not for the Bills, but still in the NFL.
Ronald Darby.
Ronald Darby. He was their first pick in the second round.
Yep.
And then you're missing the running back, who was very good in his rookie year for the Bills.
Carlos Williams.
Ronald Darby, Carlos Williams, Nick O'Leary. You got Zebry Sanders. E.J. Manuel, of course, was also.
He was.
As was Dustin Hopkins.
Oh, yeah. He got hurt.
And Nigel Bradham. They picked in a three-year period, they picked it out of Florida State. Zebry Sanders, Nigel Bradham, Dustin Hopkins, E.J. Manuel, Ronald Darby, Carlos Williams, and Nick O'Leary, and then haven't drafted one since.
Okay.
Although I think, is Reed Ferguson from Florida State? Not that you would draft a long snapper. No? He's LSU, maybe?
That's right. LSU.
Okay.
Long snapper U.
That's what they call. It's actually on the sign
they should
outside
say it.
The stadium.
If they don't call it long snapper U, they should.
Yep.
That's it for us. Extra Point Show, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up as we continue our draft reaction, recaps, all that. Sal's popping in. Jeremy and Joe, thanks for listening. Back tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.